So today is our one day sitting, plus we're having our ordination here, our lay ordination of Joyce later on today. So a very special day. So in keeping with that, the ceremony of lay ordination, I wanted to share today some of Katagiri's teaching on the subject of lay ordination. So the term lay ordination is Zaike Tokudo. Zaike means lay person, and Tokudo as a noun means a ruler or a yardstick, and that's as a noun. And as a verb, it means to carry across the river. So lay ordination is, you know, the lay person uses the yardstick, or, you know, to carry and cross the river, cross over the river. So yardsticks, you know, it's getting to probably be a word that we're not using much in our vocabulary. I think we have all other kinds of tools, but as a form of measurement, a yardstick is, you know, a yardstick, right? But so in conventional world, you know, we use yardsticks, but we also use other forms of measurement about our everyday life. We have measurements around morality or ethics, or we have measurements around such things as a success or failure. So those are different ways we use measurements or yardsticks, but actually, in this case, here the yardstick means right dharma. Seems a long way away, doesn't it? From success, failure, ethics, now we got right dharma. So in this case, right isn't about good or bad. It's not that. So, but there are two aspects of dharma that I wanted to share, and one is that aspect of the everyday world that is created, the phenomenal reality, the aspect of reality. And this reality is created by us moment by moment, every day. And then there's the source of existence. Sometimes I speak of this as emptiness or suchness, or Katagiri also uses the word timelessness. So in this case, right isn't about good or bad, but it means harmony. So right dharma, harmony of the phenomenal and the source of existence. So this is our practice. Our practice is to awaken as practitioners on the path. So how does one actually actualize right dharma? How do we bring the harmony of the phenomenal world in the spaciousness of the source of existence? So this is about carrying across right dharma. Who should do that? We should do that. And where should we do it? Where should we carry this across? And it's right here, in our everyday life in the phenomenal world. But simultaneously, you need to bring others along with you and cross to the other shore. So as bodhisattvas, we practice with the notion that the idea with the vow that will benefit all beings and liberate all beings. So for us, how do we begin? Well, our ancestor Dogen has given us very good instructions, and we recently spent quite a few weeks studying the Genjo Koan. Right? And in that fascicle, Dogen says to study the Buddha way is really to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be actualized by myriad things. So this instruction is good, but what is it doesn't tell us is that we need to study the self in the context of the phenomenal world, of all of where we are. I mean, it's kind of assumed, but it doesn't really tell us. And sometimes we like to be told, give us those instructions, please. Be direct. So when we're asked to do this and follow this instruction, it's the intention is that, and the meaning is that we are to study the self in the context of the world with other people. And as bodhisattvas, our role, our responsibility, our vow is to help others. So, well, it's hard to do this practice. So we have some tools. And those tools are the six paramitas. Uh-oh, I could see the eyes roll. Oh no, six paramitas, what's that? It's those numbers again. All right, what are they? Generosity, giving, precepts, effort, patience, meditation, and wisdom. So this is a shift from the normal way we would act in our everyday life, because normally we put the I first. I want, I need, I understand, I accept, I can give, I can do something. But it's always that I that's first. And so in the bodhisattva path, we shift away from I, me, and mine. Sometimes, though, when we try to help, it goes south. And sometimes when you try to help, it is so bad, and the situation deteriorates so much, you have to go back and rethink, what happened, right? I tried to help, but it all went south. But actually, those are really good opportunities to really learn more about yourself. Because maybe we didn't take into account the entire situation. Maybe we didn't consider the other person's feelings or where they were at that moment in time. Or maybe we didn't factor in our own maybe assertiveness or level of assertiveness or aggression or whatever. And somehow, for whatever reason, it could be that it wasn't sunny that day. Who knows? But I think these are all opportunities to rethink and investigate and learn about that, because if we use the six paramitas as the cloak, the guiding and encompassing set of practices, then maybe, you know, through a little different kind of effort, or maybe through more patience, we could have had a different outcome in that sense when we were trying to help somebody. But sometimes, of course, it goes really well, and it's our help is appreciated. So we must pay attention to more than what just meets the eye. We have to be willing to be with that moment and see into it in all of its spaciousness and emptiness. Katagiri also offers another approach, and he suggests that if one just offers oneself to one sitting wholeheartedly, perfectly, you are a great bodhisattva. So today, this practice of just sitting is already helping and giving to all beings. Because as you awaken with all beings. I know sometimes that's hard to believe. And it's like, oh yeah, it doesn't seem to fit our normal thinking, but it is true. And I know someday each of you will realize that directly, what that means and how it feels. So in this business of right dharma, realizing the harmony of the phenomenal world and the source of existence, you know, that's what we're up to. Carrying ourselves across with all beings. And in Mahayana, of course, our vow is to make all these efforts, every possible effort, to take others across. So we do this step by step in the time process. So this is Katagiri's terminology, time process. What's time process? Well, in everyday world, it's the past, it's the present, it's the future. That in effect, moment by moment, each moment is separate. It's experienced. You know, we have a tendency, of course, to see things differently, but in the phenomenal world, this is how time process works, moment by moment by moment by moment by moment. We may not be aware of all of them, but then they're strung together and they become the past, the present, and the future. Time process. Very different way of looking at our life, day by day, moment by moment. So we're actually very used to this, because we often speak about the past and we speak about the future. So now if you can add another aspect to that, of another level of granularity, or another naming of it, in a sense of that past, present, and future all have moments, and that collectively is time process. Very, very different way of considering. So in our time process of everyday life, life is sometimes easy, but you know, generally, you know, we have our challenges. We have relationships in family and at work, and you know, in just everything that we encounter. And so, it's within that context of our life in the context of that time process that we actually practice. Not only with other people, but with other beings. There are birds and animals. Some of us have pets. And so we have to consider all of this in our time process. And that's when we think of harmony, we must take in not only the everyday world in our time process, but also we have to consider the source of existence. And we don't, you know, because you can't see it, it's, you know, one of those that has to be realized, you know. But we talk about, you know, the we have metaphors to talk about. We can talk about the front and back foot. We have, you know, the mirror reflecting. These are our metaphors, the moon reflecting. All of these are kind of just to help you say, well, what appears is just one aspect of reality. It's just the phenomenal expression. But behind that, out of that phenomenal expression, this expression comes from the source of existence. So everything comes out of the source of existence. Everything. Even consciousness comes out of the source of existence. So that's what we use to create our everyday mind, our everyday reality. So Katagiri says this is the different angle or perspective when we look at our lives. And we could also say if everyday life is a time process, then the source of existence could be timelessness. But we don't, you know, we can't see that. We can't see no moment. It's something that's just, we just don't see it. So if you factor in time process and then timelessness, maybe that would be another way you could take in the whole. Rather than to just say, here's the phenomenal expression as expressed in Holger and Deborah and Cliff and Don, and then they manifest from the source of existence. They are the source of existence. And it's in this source of existence that we all come together with all beings. So I think last Tuesday we had this question arise, well, if it's the Bodhisattva vow and I have to bring all these beings over into awakening or liberation before I myself can go, well, that's a tall order, so you know, what about that? I mean, I don't know if I'm ready to step up to that. But in the really clarifying that our understanding of what that means, if we accept the source of existence as where we all meet, please come in. We just have the now the phenomenal expression of Stuart. And he's joining in our source of existence, joining in with all of us. We're already there, and so is he, in the source of existence. And, you know, that's the interconnectedness that we often speak of, that interconnectedness. How are we connected? It's really through the source of existence. Mm. Of course, if you think about, you know, how we arise phenomenologically too, I mean, that's, there is this dependent arising aspect. No individual or animal or person or nothing exists separately. Of course, our minds want to think we're separate. And actually, we've constructed filters to make it look like that, to create that world of separateness. But that's not really how the world exists. It arises in dependence of something else, and that also includes the source of existence. So ordinary life is defined by Katagiri as living the past karma as cause and living the delusions as conditioned element. It's a kind of little. So it's living the past karma as cause. So if you think about everyday life, just think about how we go through our life. We have our mind habits. We have the conditioning from our childhood, from schooling, from our parents, from, you know, grandparents and whatever. It all comes in. And we bring that conditioned element from the past to the moment, to the present. And that's the past karma. So this is our ordinary life. This is how our life is, in a sense, fabricated, because we bring all of that stuff forward. Now, Bodhisattva has another kind of life. The Bodhisattva is a person who is living with a vow, who aspires to help others, and this is the cause of a bodhisattva life. The cause for a bodhisattva's life is to help others under all circumstances, to help others. So in order to make this cause ripen or mature, a bodhisattva practice has a conditioned element, and that element is secondary help, which will make the cause ripen, and that's from the paramitas. The paramitas support you in actually being present, expressing and manifesting patience. Your meditation that you practice brings awareness, increases your awareness of your own thoughts, of how your own expressions and your own conditioning is there, and brings awareness to that. There's the practice of right effort, and also of course the foundational aspect of generosity, of first of all, as a bodhisattva, I'll be willing to take others across, to make that vow, and that is giving to others. So it supports all of the other five precepts of giving. So you have, as a person on the path, those tools and that support for the cause of ripening and maturing the seeds of becoming, of awakening. So if the bodhisattva has these paramitas as the secondary effect, as a cause, then the counter in ordinary life is, of course, you have ignorance, right? You have the wheel of life and death. You have fundamental ignorance. You have delusion going on. That is the conditioning of our lives. You know, that's what's coming forth from the past, moment by moment, into our present. And so this, you know, I've spoken about the wheel of life and death, and how, you know, there's this divided up into six realms, and, you know, you have all of these 12 links of dependent origination. Well, that all begins with delusion, which, and ignorance, which is the fundamental root of suffering. And what that is that we believe we exist separately from everything else. That we have somehow an independent existence. And so if we don't keep it in our minds that that's really not how life is, because we are all connected through the source of existence, then you can see, if you don't know that, well, my goodness, then it's easy to, you know, turn away from another and not be willing to help. Well, you know, I don't know that person. Why should I help them? They're not related to me in any way. But as a bodhisattva, you know you are related to them. You are related to those animals and the birds, to the source of existence. And that helps you with your vow. When you come to be settled in this understanding and realize you're one with the source of existence, you attain stability. Imperturbability is another way they say. Spiritual security is what you receive through this practice. And then you begin to experience the vastness of our life, of your life. And it's really immeasurable. It's incredibly immeasurable. We just don't know it. So this is how we can go beyond our life as we see it in the everyday mind of just in this space and time. Because our life goes on, where we may show up as another being in another universe, I don't know, another reality. Don't know that. But the point is, life continues. And we are all a part of that through the source of existence. And so make great effort during your life while you're here. And take care of your life and all those around you. And even if we trip up somehow, stumble along the way, pick yourself up and begin again. Because as Dogen says, life is just one mistake after another. This is great consolation. So just keep going.
That's enlightenment.
Just keep going. This is our bodhisattva life. So today, as we go through the remaining periods, please remember it's a silent. And then offer your practice up for the benefit of all beings. And then later today, if not at this moment, be sharing and congratulating Joyce in her willingness to go through lay ordination.
Don't run away.
There's no escape. Okay, I think it's time on our schedule, so we should probably chant out.